Jen mentioned, she let the bag. I gave, you know, I sent her my message, and I was kind of running. I've been running like a madman. This is like, yeah, I was just kind of going where I was. Yeah, I'm a man, right? So I'm like, yeah, what's wrong with that? So she said, do you know what date it is? I'm like, December something, you know? And she goes, it's like the Sunday before. I'm like, oh. So, yeah, that, isn't it funny how, like, you get so going, you just go, 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 and you just all of a sudden you have to step back and really refocus some stuff. But what do you call Santa when he doesn't have any money? Saint Nicholas. So when he's Nicholas, right? Nicholas, that means he's running poor. So therefore he might not have all the pants that he needs. So what do you call Santa when he doesn't have pants? Saint Knickerless. Do you guys know what knickers are? The younger crew, do you guys know what knickers are? Okay. So knickers are pants. All right. Where does a store suit in his claws at? That you can use that one, okay? And then the final and last, what type of pictures do Santa's helpers like to take? Elfies. Yep, they like to take elfies. Yep, okay. So, well, Christmas time. And this morning, when I refocused my head, I wanted to, you know, a lot of times we always go over the Christmas story, and it's the greatest, one of the greatest stories of all time, right? Christ's birth. So I wanted to look at it from the perspective of Luke this morning, because Luke, Luke, the doctor, right? So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Luke. So Luke was a doctor. I assume he was a Gentile, but he put the document together, the book of Luke together. And when he came out and first said it, and this is why I wanted to look at this, Luke, we're going to be in Luke chapter 1 and 2. We're going to be bumping around a little bit in Luke, but primarily in those chapters. But in Luke 1 through 4, in the introduction of his book, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seems good that he would write this book. I wanted to take it from that perspective of a doctor who wanted to look at, and so he investigated this whole situation out. Today, how many times, especially our younger generation, they're investing. Fake. The Bible's fake, and they hear it enough. The Bible's true. That changed everything. This is, and they change, and we hear it. I hear it all the time, where people are like, "That didn't happen." People raised in the church, it didn't happen. So. Here's Luke, we get into this story of the coming of Jesus Christ, born and laid in a manger, like we just sang about, always on time. I wanted to look at the perspective of Luke, this doctor, because think about it. So he's a doctor, and he heard the story, and came to know Christ, worked with Paul. I think he was part of the church of Antioch, and that's like a whole other scenario that we could look at. But so Luke puts this investigation together, and we're going to look at his investigation of the birth of Christ. Because here's a doctor. a doctor's perspective and from a human perspective, you jump right into it and just the virgin birth. From the human perspective, all doctors say, virgin birth cannot take place. Luke, as a doctor, decided to be like, I need to investigate this because this does not make sense. But what do we know? We know this. We know that the understanding of God's power, and this is what Luke then began to understand, and as he wrote in Luke 1 and 2 and all through the book, but the power of God, when the applied to what God wants done, it totally blows away anything about our earthly knowledge, because now we're talking the supreme God being of doing anything that he wants to have done and accomplished. And he's using, and he gives favor to the people in the story today, Mary, and we look at Elizabeth, and then we look at what we're going to jump in, but that's the perspective I wanted to look at from Luke. This investigation, and the whole book of Luke was Luke investigating and knowing and telling people, I've investigated this out. I talked to the apostles. They were eyewitnesses. They saw this stuff happen, and this is true. So that's what we're looking at. So we're going to jump into Luke 1. We're going to start in 26 through 35. We're going to jump around here. But in Luke 1, the birth of Christ foretold. In the sixth month, God sent the angel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, which we know had to take place from prophecy. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Highly favored. Remember, the highly favored, the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Verse 34. How will this be? Mary asked the angel. Since I am a virgin, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Wow. Okay. So in the human perspective, Luke investigating this thing out, knowing as a doctor, knowing what he heard, knowing it from Luke, who a Gentile, wasn't brought up in the way of the Hebrew scriptures like the apostles were and those of the Jewish descent, right? He was a different guy. He was a Gentile. So he was investigating all stuff out. And the first out of the gate was, how can that ever make it? Angel, Mary, you are highly favored. Favored. God's favor on a person. And we see this favor that God has given to Mary, right? So this favor is upon Mary. And then, of course, you think about the favor. A lot of times you hear people talk about favor, we think about, if you are in favor, then you get all these great things, right? It's all this stuff happens. Do I get this great stuff? Mary had great stuff happen to her, no doubt. She gave birth to our Savior, but we also know the young girl, this wasn't an easy road for her. The favor of God. So when we have the favor of God, just like Mary had the favor of God, she was doing her job. She was called to do a specific mission, and she chose to believe and have faith and trust God for it. And that favor was upon her. But was it easy? Was it easy? No, it wasn't easy. It was hard for Mary. It was hard for Joseph. But we see the favor was on Mary. That favor, and we're going to look further on about that favor. Okay. And then we also see this favor of God on Elizabeth. Verse 40 and 45, still in chapter 1. I'm going to start verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in her womb, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, Blessed are you among women, calling out to Mary, and blessed is the child you will bear. And then she goes on to say, but why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? A favor. Favor that God, a supreme, not mystical, spiritual, you know, the supreme God of all things, right? Of all the universe. When he causes favor upon somebody, we see it with Mary. We see this favor given to Elizabeth. So we have an older generation given to Elizabeth, right? And we have the younger generation where it's given. But this favor, this isn't in the New Testament. This favor we also see going, like, did you ever hear the guy Noah? So in the beginning, in Genesis, and I just throw out Genesis, you can look it up later, Genesis 6, chapter 6, 7 through 9, talked about when God looked upon the earth, he was grieved that he made mankind, right? He's like, why? These people are so stupid. Why did I make these people, right? But then it says, Noah found favor from God. Why was that favor given to Noah? Because it goes on to say, it was this, and it's the same thing with Mary and Elizabeth. Noah's favor, because he was righteous, he was blameless, and he walked faithfully with God. Mary, young girl, Jewish, grew up hearing the Torah, grew up hearing the law, grew up hearing the prophecies of the Messiah. She had faith, right? She didn't deny these things of Christ. She was humble. The favor that God gives comes upon people that are living righteously, that want to follow Christ, that want to follow his purpose, that are walking in faith. Just like Noah, when God called out and said, I had favor on him. And that's what saved humanity at the time, right? It's kind of like a crossover there. This favor that was found on Mary to bring salvation to humanity through Mary. Same, a favor was called upon Noah, who saved the world from, you know, to extend humanity past the flood, same type of thing. But this favor of God upon people. And as I thought about that, I was like, man, Do you want that favor? What's it take to get that favor from God? Favor. Like, do you ever have a favor? It's not like the favor of, I went on an elk hunting trip a couple years ago, and this one guy got everybody a gift. He got everyone like a party gift, right? So mine was a really, the goal was that you're going to shoot a nice big elk and you're going to have this knife to kind of, but no one saw an elk. So anyhow, but I got this, you get a party favor. So you get this party favor and it's a favor. And how do you get the party favor? If you go to a party, let's say you go to a Christmas party and people are giving out a party favor. Here's the party and I come over to this party. How do I get that favor? I have to go to the party, right? If I go to this party where they're not giving a party favor, no, I don't get a party favor. So I'm going to go to this party. We're going to get a party favor. God watches Mary. God, I believe God still watches upon us. And he looks at us upon through his supreme level of supremacy of God. How that all works, I can honestly say I do not know, because God is everywhere and he sees everything. And that's what I told you before about my non-understanding is, am I at how that, but he sees us. And he looks upon our heart, just like he looked at Mary. And he saw this girl who was humble, who was righteous, who wanted to serve and live for the Lord and had faith of the coming Messiah. And God said, I have favor upon her. And then she goes, as we continue, we jump over to the birth story in Luke 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Jumping down to verse 4. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. Once again, a prophecy fulfilled. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child, which we know was who? Jesus, right? While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. Verse 8, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people today. In the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and laying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying this, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. On whom his favor rests. Once again, now we find this favor. I'm going to party. Over this party, there's no favor. I want the party favor. Right? I want this party favor. The that my God, who created the universe, the supreme being of things, wants to give us his favor. Right? But when we see it through Christ and the angels calling out now, after Christ was born, so first the angels, and these are angels speaking, angels told Mary she was highly favored. So an angel from a spiritual dimension that's with God in that realm brings up God's favor. We see angels at the time of Christ when they're talking to the shepherds. The shepherds are all there. And this is what you're going to see. And they said, this God talks about God's favor. If we're living as we, Noah, right? It wasn't an angel that brought it up, but they were speaking of God changed his mind not to wipe out the human race because Noah found favor. How can we find that same favor? Do you want that favor? I want that favor. Like Luke talks about a doctor, but then we have to look at the spiritual dimension of this favor that we see when Christ was born, that we see when God set the world onto the pattern of this is how it's going to work. And he already knows what we're going to do. He already knew the inn was going to be filled, right? He already knew that there was going to be a manger. He already knew Joseph wasn't first going to believe Mary because, once again, earthly mind is, you can't be pregnant. There's only one way you get pregnant. You're not a virgin. And then the angel had to come and talk to Joseph. Joseph and Mary walked to Bethlehem. Well, we're on the donkey, right? And that's another thing, not to get political, but you've seen a lot now. People are leaving Jesus out of nativity scenes to cause this political, a political statement to say, well, look, these were refugees. The fact is, Joseph and Mary weren't refugees. They were legally bound to go to the city. They were legally called because also a prophecy was the baby has to be born in Bethlehem. Joseph had to go because a law was called out, a decree was called out that we're doing the census. Odds are, pretty funny there, right? Do you think the favor of God was on this whole circumstance so the prophecy would take place? Absolutely it was. So the prophecy that took place was to call Mary and Joseph, not but legally bound to go to that city. Legally bound. He had to do it. A decree was called. So they went. They went, and that favor of God was on Mary. Mary was highly favored. Mary goes on, and you talk, and you read about Mary's song. The song of Mary. Oh, where is that? That's going to be in Luke 1. Mary says this. And Mary said, and this is Luke chapter 1, 46 through 56. And Mary said, this is called Mary's song, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. That's one of the things. She's a humble person. She loved the Lord. She was humble. She wasn't arrogant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their throne, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever. Forever. this favor of God when I think Mary, this young girl who was confronted with these angels. And as we think about Christmas time and we think about all the stuff I already told you, like how our minds go, and like I totally forgot what date it was. Right? But the favor of God, I didn't forget about the favor of God. I had to forgot about the favor, the date. It was 21st. But the favor of God is something that just doesn't happen at Christmas time. The favor of God, just as the angels called out, when the angels called out to the shepherds, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Do you have God's favor? Do we have God's favor? If you're not a believer, you can't have God's favor. That peace that the angels talked about and shared about this peace was over at this party here, where Christ came through and fulfilled the prophecies of the Messiah. And the Messiah, which we know, yeah, great birth story, right? And for 30 years, Christ lived and worked and did his thing. And then for three more years, that's when he started his ministry and went to the end of his life. And we know that the angels called out about was a peace for salvation. This favor from Jesus Christ can only taste for believers. The believers that hold to Christ as their Savior, that have their in Christ. That's another one we're going to talk about here in January, about faith. We're going to look back on faith in January and want to go over stuff, but I've been looking up at that language of God. But anyhow, because we see part of the language of God, because the angels have talked about it with Mary. The angels talked about it with the shepherds. And the angels called out about this peace. I have peace. I'm at this party. Right? I got the favor. But God's favor was also extended in ways that were so supernatural that Luke had to step and investigate it. And today in our society, people are casting aside what Scripture says. They're kicking it to the meaningless. That what the Creator of the world has given to us, kicking it away, saying that is false. I'm praying, I want more of God's favor. I want more of God's favor in my life. God's favor in this church, which God's favor can come upon a church. No, it comes upon God's favor comes upon the people. Living righteously. Are we living as we should? And maybe we are, maybe we're not. I know some days I am and some days I'm, not. Right? We're human. And we have struggles and battles and you all go through it. We all do. Man, God's favor. Elizabeth had God's favor. This miraculous thing took place and the angels called out that for all humanity, when the angels cried out, the angels cried out about the peace that Christ will bring. And that peace, and with this whole story comes down to this party. This party where we can have salvation. A party favor. If you're in this party and you're holding to Jesus Christ and you put your faith and trust in Christ, not all the other stuff, but in Christ, just like the prophecies talked about, just birth story shows, just like all these things about God's favor is upon Jesus Christ to give you, Jim, salvation, to give me salvation. That's what it's, this favor of peace. God's favor of peace for the believer. There's people up here who want the favors. They want all the stuff, but they don't want to believe in Jesus Christ, right? The angel called out peace to all humanity. Peace for those who have the favor of God. As we come closer to the end of this month, Christmas is still a couple days away. Who has shopping yet to do? Who will be out talking to people? And we can simply say, right? We can tell people, hey, I hope you find God's favor. No one's ever said that to me. It's kind of interesting when you think about a favor. Because what is a favor? A favor is, the definition here, I'm going to give you the definition. A favor is, what is it? I thought I wrote it down. Okay, I didn't write it down. But a favor, a kindness, it's an approval. It's something that someone, it's a kind thing. I favor, right? When you say, hey, you have a favor. I say sometimes to Jen, hey, Jen, will you do me a favor? And she's like, I'm not doing you any favors. But no, she doesn't say that. She thinks it, but she doesn't say it. But so, you know, you get a favor. And that means someone's being kind. Someone's approving and trying to help you. God's that. But this favor, it's the supreme God of all creation, of everything, saying to me, I want to give you this favor. He said it to Noah. And that changed the course of humanity for us as we know it. He said, angels came down and said it to Mary, and it changed the course for us because prophecy was fulfilled. The Savior was born. And then we know further down the line when Christ is crucified for our salvation. God's favor. God's favor. The Christmas story, a glitzy little nice story, fairy tale type of like a Santa Claus thing, right? It's truth. It's truth. Let's tell somebody, hey, I hope you find God's favor over Christmas time. What? What do you mean? Like, I'm actually going to try to use that on somebody now that I think about it. So let's see what happens. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I thank you for who you are, Lord. I thank you for what you've showed me with the favor of you, Lord, the kindness that you have given and that you showed to this young girl, Mary, that she was humble. That she wanted to live righteously. She wanted to serve you. She trusted in you as the coming Messiah. And Lord, you looked down from your supreme authority and saw her. And as the angel said, she was highly favored. A kindness, an approval was given to her by you, the creator of the world. Lord, I pray that we will see people as you see people. Lord, we know that there's people in a party over here that doesn't have the favor, a party over here that has the favor. Lord, help us to reach out to people knowing that this story doesn't stop. This story is just the beginning of a salvation story that you want us to minister and take care of other people and reach into people's lives, just like you sent your son to reach into our life, that we can have salvation, that we found favor of peace because of your son, because we put our trust in him, Lord. Lord, help us to remember that. And I just thank you, Lord, for this time of the season. Help me now, Lord, help me to get my head the next couple days wrapped around the favor of you in this time of season, that we can have a great conversation with people that might have heard the story, but don't believe the story. Thank you, Lord, for Luke, who put this investigation together that pulled out, and he was a doctor. So he wasn't, he had to find out. Lord, help us to use the tools that we have to best serve you, just as Noah, that we can live and righteously serve you, Father. I pray for that. Help us to do that. Lord, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for everybody in this church. I pray for a blessing upon this church and the people in it. And I pray for Dick and a blessing for his healing and the healing that you've done with other people, with Janet and Scott. And Lord, I just pray for your favor to be upon us. Help us to minister worthy for you. And you know, let me pray. Amen.
And then over here on the back table is like the evangelistic one. So if you want to give it to someone, or maybe it's not for the bag there, some have like a little post-it note. It just says, come to me. And some don't because they are like a nativity.